Right here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to sharing another Sunday service with you and sharing some spiritual ideas and just, you know, fellowshipping together. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. We will now have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, July the 12th. The key word is guidance, and the affirmation is, I am divinely guided. Guidance can be easy to find in the outer world. Maps and GPS technology can help navigate my way just about anywhere. Everywhere I go, there are signs marking streets, adorning storefronts, and providing just about every kind of information and opinion imaginable. Spiritual guidance often is not as evident, but it is much more valuable. This guidance can come to me as a persistent tug on my attention, as a gut feeling or intuition, or even in a dream as I sleep. I pay attention to the guidance I receive and step out in faith to move my steps in its direction. I know that the spirit of wisdom and love within me are always guiding me to blessings of greater peace, love, and prosperity. And the scripture is Psalm 25:4. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Thank you, hon. Mm-hmm. So we are continuing on this path of, whose am I really? We're going to talk about that today in this concept of, expanding our consciousness even more. And, I thought about it, and it's sort of like every week we're talking about this idea of expanding consciousness. But, even if you look at what's going on now in the world, expansion of consciousness really is the most important thing we need to do. You heard me say before that, if we're trying to solve the problems that we're facing right now with old thinking, it's just going to keep us in the same frame of mind and creating sort of the same ideas. So, we're looking to expand ourselves into a different space. So each week, as I'm talking about this idea of how to expand consciousness, what I'm doing is I'm going over a little bit of what we've talked about and then adding another dimension to it so that we're not getting a completely new dimension every week. That way, hopefully, we'll get a better understanding of how this process of expanding our consciousness to a new dimension, really works. So in a TV series that I've been watching, a Netflix series, it was talking about this idea that one of the actors or characters made this quote, searching for oneself is the journey of a lifetime. Life is what happens in between. I really like that, okay? Now, for us, the self that we are searching for is the true self, the true self that transcends the self that we see in the mirror. We are searching for the unlimited self that is free from the illusion of the limited self. So the divine self does exist, and that's what I want us to understand. The divine self does exist. And not only, I think last week I showed a lot of science about that idea. But the key here is that when you read the works of the mystics, the ones who with, a highly evolved consciousness, you can see that there is a divine self that does exist. And we have been searching for it all of our lives in what happens in between. So in other words, we have been searching, but we don't know that we've been searching for it. So the series, you know, this series of lessons, Whose Am I Really, is about the search and what is happening in between that's constantly trying to awaken us to the infinite possibility that lies within us. Okay. Now, for each lesson, I usually like to have a main scripture that runs through the whole lesson. And for today's lesson, we're still investigating Romans 12:2. And yes, you will find me using Bible verses over and over again, because each time, hopefully, I'm bringing a new dynamic to that, a new understanding to that Bible verse. And remember, you heard me say before that Alice Bailey, a very mystical writer, talks about that there's seven levels of meaning in each Bible verse in the Bible. So, you know, we keep exploring them until we can really get to understand them. So this one, Romans 12:2, is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Again, if you think about what's happening now, you know, not to become conformed to what's happening in the world, but allow what's happening to transform us and help us to renew our minds. So by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay. So again, that idea, you know, what is the will of God? It's basically saying, what is the will of our higher self? All right. Our lower self has its typical responses, and we all know how, you know, we can respond to that. But the will of God is our higher self, and it helps us to respond to what's happening in life from a higher perspective. And we're going to get into that more deeply. So the secondary title, Come to the Edge, comes from the poem written by the English poet Christopher Logue. And he says, the poem says, we are told by our teacher to come to the edge, but we proclaimed we might fall. We're told by our teacher to come to the edge, but we proclaim it is too high. Our teacher commands that we come to the edge. So we come, and he pushes us off the edge, and we fly. Okay. So the poem presents a good image of what our studies here are designed, you know, to do. First, coax us to come to the edge of what we presently believe to be true about ourselves and what we believe about our lives, and then pushes us to a place in consciousness beyond what we believe to be possible. So many of us have, you know, limited ourselves to a certain life, a certain way of being, because of what we believe to be possible for ourselves and for our lives. It's sort of like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that corporate idea where, you know, people are trying to rise up, but they only get to a certain level and they can't seem to break past that level. It's because their consciousness can't move them past that level. The way that we live our lives, a lot of times we just get caught, caught in a rut. And so we think about things we'd like to do other than where we are, but this rut is more of a state of consciousness that keeps us from really understanding that there are greater possibilities for us, okay? So even what we, you know, ask for in prayer is often limited by what we believe to be possible for ourselves and what we believe to be possible in our lives. And it's, you know, it is our illusions of limitations that are our greatest blocks to our prayers being answered. So it's like, I know I've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, that we'll say, you know, we will pray for something, but at the same time, there's something in us that's blocking that. In this same Netflix series that I'm watching, they were talking about the fact that you had to be able to get through your greatest fear in order to move to the next level that you are striving for. And most of us have some kind of fear of something, abandonment, loss of job, aging, you know, whatever it might be. We all have some type of fear. And the key here is what the characters were saying, until you can get past that fear, you're always locked into a certain mode of thinking and believing. So, you know, the answer to our prayers can be frustrated by our feelings and beliefs that what we are praying for is out of our reach. And often, you know, even as we proclaim that we believe it is possible to receive what we pray for, we simultaneously and unconsciously frustrate that process. So as the opening poem portrays, to receive what we pray for, we must be willing to come to the edge of what we now believe to be possible for ourselves so that we can be pushed into a new reality. A reality where that which we pray for already exists. And I think we talked about a lot of that last week or the week before. So as I said last week, this is really some hard stuff. I mean, it's hard to understand and even more challenging to implement. I mean, How do we do that? How do we get to this place that where we're able to break free of the pattern of thinking and believing that we have in our mind? You know, and at the same time, if we truly want to discover the divinity within ourselves, coming to the edge of what we presently believe to be real and possible, it's actually unavoidable. Okay, you are going to be pushed by life to make that move. So if spiritual growth is what we truly desire, then transformation is a must. We must learn to live our lives, you know, practicing the principles that describe a possibility, a potentiality that exists beyond what we presently believe to be true about ourselves and what is occurring in the world. Okay, so Rumi, the Persian mystic and poet, is quoted as saying, "If I have one drop of knowing in my soul, let it dissolve into your ocean." Okay, so a possible interpretation of that poem is, "Lord, when I think I know what is real, please help me to dissolve what I think I know into your infinite wisdom." That's sort of what it's getting at. And that's the focus of this series of lessons. You know, how do we become conscious of the fact that we are intrinsically intertwined with the infinite wisdom that God is? You know, how do we get to know that? You know, to set the stage for this lesson, listen to this quote from the book, The Divine Matrix by Greg Braden. So it says, "The divine matrix is our world, and it is also everything in our world. It is us and all that we love, hate, create, and experience. Living in a divine matrix, we are artists expressing our innermost passions, fears, dreams, and desires through the essence of a mysterious quantum canvas. But we are the canvas as well as the images upon the canvas. We are the paints as well as the brushes." Okay. Now, you know, this is but another way of saying that we have been, what we've been saying a long time. We are the ones who create our own world as well as being the world that we created, right? It is saying we are the artist who paints the body we're in and the experiences we're having. And at the same time, we are the body and the experience. I know that's one of those things you got to think about for a minute. And believe me, I know this is one, it's a difficult concept to grasp, you know, because it sometimes doesn't make sense. But a possible illustration, it's kind of comical, but I'm going to use a cartoon. You might remember Daffy Duck, the Daffy Duck cartoon, in which Daffy would reach out of the cartoon, snatch the pencil from the artist, who was somewhere off-scene and unseen, and erase parts of himself that he didn't like, and then redraw them, as well as erase things in the scene, his cartoon world that he didn't like, and redraw them. So this is probably as good an illustration as any to give us a means of visualizing how we create and recreate ourselves and our lives, while at the same time being that which we have created, all right? We are the creator and the created. And we hold in the hand of our consciousness the pencil we use to erase and redraw ourselves and our lives. However, if we're stuck with a certain image of ourselves and our lives, and think about that. If we are stuck with a certain image of ourselves and our lives, this is how I see myself. This is how I think about myself. If we're stuck in that thinking process, everything we draw will be a reflection of those images we hold of ourselves. So no matter how many times we redraw ourselves or our circumstances, the results will always be somewhat the same, right? Is that making sense, right? So you get a pencil, you're giving the idea to, you know, to do something, draw something, and that's sort of what is happening now. As you can see with what COVID-19 has created, we are trying to draw what we call the new normal. But in a lot of cases, we're trying to draw it the way it was. If that makes sense, okay? And you know, and so this is really calling for a whole new way of looking at things. But because we're stuck in the way of doing things, we're trying to just recreate what was, as opposed to being open to something truly magnificent and different. So in Matthew 10:34, we read that Jesus says, "Do not think." So the same idea about, you know, we're stuck in this way of thinking, okay? Probably almost every human being on the planet has their own perception of how things are, how they are, how we are to show up in the world, okay? And in Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword," all right? So Jesus was expressing that what he came to teach us, you know, as the way to the Christ self would cause turmoil within the consciousness of humanity, okay? Because it would cause us, if we want to try to understand it, we have to kind of break free of the thinking that we have now. It's a whole nother spiritual dynamic, whole another way of thinking in order to enter into that consciousness. And again, you know, my favorite thing of saying that Jesus said of John the Baptist, he who is greatest on the kingdom of earth is least, less than he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. So they're saying no matter how evolved your intellect is, he said, how not your intellect is, it still doesn't, you know, compare to what it means to think from a spiritual perspective. So to truly change yourself and your experience, you must first change what you think about yourself and the experiences in your life and how you feel about what you are thinking and experiencing, okay? So it's your feeling nature that is the driving force that propels your thoughts and beliefs to continuously manifest as your reality. Simply, change yourself and your life must change the vision you hold that creates the feelings which manifest in your life. Let me say it again. If you change yourself and your life, you must, you know, change the vision that you hold and you create. You know, that's those visions is what's creating your feelings. That feeling is what is causing you to manifest more of that which you are experiencing. Okay. So what we're striving for in these lessons, which is why it is so challenging, is the ability to create a whole new vision of ourselves, not as our ego mind perceives us or our intellect perceives us, but as our Christ mind knows us to be, okay? And this is the idea behind the concept, whose am I really? Whose meaning, who do I belong to, all right? So in last week's lesson, we learned that we're part of and belong to what the Hindu sacred texts describe as a unified field of pure consciousness that bathes and permeates all of creation. And this unified field of pure consciousness is what we simply call God, okay? So the principle is, we call God, which is a principle of absolute good that is expressed in all of us by way of the Christ, which is the individualized expression of God within each one of us, okay? So our Christ mind is our key to understanding how to merge our mind with the infinite wisdom in which we move and breathe and have our being. However, we cannot merge ourselves by ourselves, okay? Remember I said before, it was my favorite saying, the ego cannot jump out of the ego. So we cannot merge ourselves by ourselves, but by way of prayer and meditation, we can surrender to the merging process, okay? That is the purpose of the commitment to daily prayer and meditation. Even if you are doing it and you come out and you say, this is useless, nothing's really happening, okay? The fact that you are doing it, something is happening. It's just that it's happening at a deeper level than your conscious mind is aware of. Is everybody getting what I'm saying? So don't give up your prayer meditation time, okay? And remember, in the prayer meditation time, it's not about asking, it's about surrendering. It's about letting go and let God be God in you. Your work is to let go and so that you can merge into this divine process. So to paraphrase the poem from Rumi, we want to allow the limitations of our ego mind to dissolve into the ocean of the infinite mind. So I say again, this is the main purpose of the daily practice of prayer and meditation. Now, to get a better picture of this daily prayer practice, think of the limiting thoughts of your ego mind as large rocks in a stream of flowing water. The stream is flowing towards an ocean of infinite possibilities. But the limiting rocks stand firm, and they block, you know, some of this flow from happening. You know, and they stand firm in their position. So your spiritual work is to visualize those rocks being like salt dissolving into the flowing stream, okay? So every time a negative limiting thought enters your mind, see it as a rock of salt being rapidly dissolved by the flowing stream and washed into the ocean of infinite potentiality. Now, that imaginary process, you know, you can come up with your own imaginary process, but that imaginary process actually does work. It's a dynamic that you're going through mentally that's helping you to dissolve the fears and anxieties or whatever else is happening in your life, or even dissolve the perception you have of yourself so that you can really begin to flow into that ocean of infinite potentiality. Remember, once you enter that ocean, you begin to discover and experience things that your intellect had no idea even existed. That's what we're striving for, okay? So your work, my work, your work is to free yourself from all limited thinking by learning how to use your power of imagination to visualize infinite possibilities for yourself beyond what you can possibly imagine, okay? And we can often, you know, we have often quoted John 8:32, where it is written that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, okay? I know you've heard that a lot of times, but hopefully you're beginning to understand more and more what this freedom really means. It means free from being locked into how we as individuals, how I as an individual perceive things, how I see things, okay, so that I can open myself up to a greater awareness. Now, yes, we are always asked our opinion, okay, and a lot of times our opinions help in certain situations. So we're not saying that the way we see things is wrong. What we're saying is that there is something greater than the way we see things. And that's what, again, what Albert Einstein said, that he became aware of the fact that there was something greater than all that he thought he knew, okay? So that's the same thing we're trying to get to, this idea of not saying that where we are is wrong, but saying that there's a potential within us that would bring us into possibilities that we cannot even conceive of, okay? So the key to understanding this scripture is realizing that the word Jesus is referring to is the word of God. Now, to repeat what we've read in the revealing word quite a few times, the word of God is the agency by which God reveals God's self to each of us. Now, using this to paraphrase Jesus' statement, if you continue to follow the guidance of Spirit, you will prove that you are disciplined enough to know the truth that will set you free of your own negative thoughts or your own fearful thoughts, okay? And upon close examination, we would most likely discover that the word we follow now is that of our own making. So we're not following the word of God. We're not following our divine inspiration. We're following the word that we have made up ourselves, okay? We are, for the most part, disciples of ourselves, following our own mind while blocking out God mind. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but just think of the possibilities of being able to transcend your own thinking, okay? So instead of being free, right now we're trapped within our own limiting perceptions, meaning we are only able to perceive what we have come to believe is true and possible for ourselves. And again, you know, I acknowledge that, you know, all we have ever known, that's all we've ever known, really is our own thinking, our own perceptions. Our reason for being here is to learn how to do the work necessary to change our perspective from the illusion of being limited to the reality that in truth we are unlimited. That's what we're striving for. Again, not negating or knocking down what we have achieved as we are and what we can achieve as we are, but understanding that we are missing the reservoir of unlimited possibilities, unlimited potential that lie within us. And we are, you know, my favorite thing, crack in the cosmic egg. We do have that crack in the cosmic egg experience. And cosmic egg is where you've heard me talk about before, if you took the I am, I wish I had my whiteboard to write on, if you took the I am and you think about a negative thought that happens, something happened in your life and it creates a little egg, thin egg around this I am of you, you know, the true I am. And then something else happens and it keeps going and keeps going and the shell around you gets thicker and thicker and thicker. Well, the crack in the cosmic egg is that on the, you have this epiphany where there's a little crack that happens in that egg, and you see into the true I am, and you have this expression of freedom, of a higher thought that comes out of that. So what we're doing is every time you have do your prayer meditation sessions, you're beginning to thin out that shell, that egg that you've created or we've created around our true I am, hiding us from our true I am. So that's the reason, one of the reasons for prayer and meditation is to begin to dissolve that negative dynamic that we have created or keeps us from seeing into the truth of ourselves. So if we refer back to the opening poem from Christopher Lug, for us to be able to hear and follow the word of God, it would be equivalent to stepping off the edge of what we now believe to be true and possible and into a whole new reality that would allow us to fly. That's what he's saying. And for the study of the, from the study of the 12 powers, we learn that the power of understanding is the ability to perceive the word of God over our own, okay? Meaning when our mind tells us that that greater levels of prosperity are not possible, or our healing of our body is not possible, or our healing of certain relationships was not possible, or, healing of what is happening in the racial divide, possibilities that are going on. Anytime our mind tells us that that's going on, it's trying to convince us, through our power of understanding, we have the innate ability to hear and understand and choose possibilities over those impossibilities, okay? To choose the unlimited over what perceives to be limited, to choose God over fear. That's what we're trying to get to, okay? So as Paul pointed out in Romans 12:2, for this to occur, you must be willing to go through a transformation. He said, and I partially paraphrase, you must learn to not be conformed to this world and its ideas of what is and is not possible. Instead, you must avail yourself to God so that through your own transformation experience, you can prove what is the will of God and what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Or, as it's interpreted in the Message Bible, okay, it says, don't become so well adjusted in your life that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the world around you, always dragging you down to its level of materiality, God raises you up to your true level of spirituality. Okay, so that's kind of what we're trying to get to. All right. So, and if you're, if you're having a hard time understanding the concepts of transformation, think of yourself being like Daffy Duck, right? Grabbing a pencil out of the hand of your fearful ego and erasing whatever fearful images your ego has drawn, and then become still, listening for the guidance of the Holy Spirit giving you direction as to how to draw your infinite potentialities that are available to you from your spiritual self, okay? And what we're exploring is the primal web energy in which we move and live and have our being. We're exploring the possibility that we're much more than observers passing through a creation that already exists. According to the book, The Secret, Unlocking the Source of Joy and Fulfillment, we are learning that we are not mere observers of a world that already exists, but rather we are simultaneously observers and creators, okay? So experiments in quantum physics show that simply looking at something as tiny as an electron, just focusing our awareness upon what it's doing for even an instant in time changes its properties while we are watching it, okay? So the experiment suggests that the very act of observation is an act of creation, and our consciousness is what is doing the creating. So therefore, from a quantum perspective, we can no longer consider ourselves as being merely onlookers who have no effect on the world that we're observing. The fact that we are creators participating in the creation process as opposed to just being observers presents us with a very different decision as to the kind of role we choose to play in the creation process, okay? And that's just another way of saying what we have said many, many different lessons, you know, that we are constantly creating what is happening in our world. So just think, if experiments in quantum physics prove that by way of our consciousness, we create our reality, as true students, it becomes imperative that we become conscious of our thoughts, words, and actions as we look upon our world and all the people that are in it and all the things that are happening. So let's end this lesson with the words Charles Fillmore gave us to affirm, you know, when fear, thoughts, and feelings come over us, right? And yeah, this is it. He says, I'm now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. I acknowledge thy presence and thy power, O blessed Spirit. In thy divine wisdom, I now erase my mortal limitations, and from thy pure substance of love, I bring into manifestation my world according to thy perfect law. Okay? And that's a powerful affirmation that he has. And I think that was in the book, The Dynamic Laws, which might not even be in print anymore. But, you know, you can always relook at this video and write those down. Very, very powerful words. So, again, think about these thoughts and, you know, implement them in your life. And remember, prayer, meditation daily, whether it seems like it's working or not, it is at the deep levels within your being. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Let's now prepare for our meditation for today. Find that safe space to be in and relax. Take a deep breath and pause in this moment as you allow spirit to restore your natural balance. Take another deep breath and gently close your eyes. Breathe and feel the peace of this quiet moment wash over you. Take another deep breath in, and as you do, realize that you're taking in the breath of life, the breath of God, and then slowly exhale. Feel your body begin to relax, grateful for this time in your day. Turn your attention inward as you listen within to the sanctuary of your soul. From this place of inner stillness, you can hear the sweet whispers of spirit. These sweet whispers of spirit guide you in all aspects of your life. As you quiet your mind, you become receptive to God's guiding presence. God is pure love and lights your way, revealing new depths of wisdom and understanding that are within you. Call forward thoughts of peace and begin to trust the still small voice within. You are safe and guided along life's way. The power that is God is filling your awareness and inner source of wisdom. Allow it to flow through you now. I now invite you to take the next few moments in the silence, feeling your body and mind slowly becoming congruent with God mind. We are thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and you have answered them as you always do. And we do realize that as we pray, the answers are coming at the same time that we are praying. We ask your guidance in everything that we do this upcoming week. Bless our actions, bless our words, bless our reactions and our responses. And now, feeling peaceful, come back to your surroundings, thanking Spirit for your life and understanding and the courage to step forth to do what is yours to do. We are grateful for all these blessings in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. This is the time where we do our affirmation. Blessing the offerings that we receive. We thank you so much for continuing to support Unity Center of Light. This is the new normal for a while. We've actually heard churches that were talking about they were going to try to open up in July, and they were going to try to open up in August, and now they push it out in September. I think more and more people are getting the message that, you know, having church in a normal fashion, it just isn't working. Matter of fact, we were seeing on the internet that churches that were meeting were, there was starting to be another outbreak of COVID. So we're going to be doing this for a while, bringing the service to you. And it's our pleasure to do this from our home to your home. So, you know, being thankful for all the blessings that you give us, we want to do our blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And just before we bless the path, I just want to share with you that we've been doing Courageous Conversations. This past Monday we had one, and real interesting. Just as we were getting ready to start the class, our power went out. And it's so interesting. I looked at Pam and I said, you know, nothing happens, nothing happens that doesn't have a purpose to it. For some reason, we were not supposed to do it tonight. But Pamela Paul stepped up and did a wonderful job facilitating that, and they had an incredible discussion in the Courageous Conversations about what is happening with the racial healing that is trying to take place right now. So we normally do it every 2 weeks, and the next one would be July 20th. But at the same time, Ibram Kendi, of the book Anti-Racist, is speaking, and he's doing it with Dr. Charlene Dukes, who is the president of Prince George Community College, which is interesting. So she's the president right now, and she's retiring at the end of this month. So we're directing everybody to go and watch that on Monday the 20th, and it's at 7 o'clock, the same time we would have been doing Courageous Conversations. You should have gotten the a way of connecting to that through the weekly updates from Patty and from the e-newsletter. And I'm assuming they'll be sending it out again next week to make sure everybody knows how to connect with that. So that's Monday, July the 20th at 7 o'clock. Ibram Kendi and Dr. Charlene Dukes will be having a discussion on anti-racism. So with that, let us.
We're going to bless the path that we walk this week.
Yeah, so let's do that.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Amen. So it's been our pleasure to bring this to you today. And we look forward to seeing you next week. All right. So have a great week. Have a blessed
week. Bye-bye.